Week 7, Day 3. Our scripture today is Acts chapter 16. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them. And he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. But when it was day, the magistrates sent the police, saying, "Let those men go." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore come out now and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out." The police reported these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Roman citizens. So they came and apologized to them, and they took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen the brothers, they encouraged them and departed. Redirection by Josh Fuhr. God usually gives us a direction, not a destination. This has been somewhat of a theme in my life after numerous temporary disappointments. Whenever I'm tempted to be frustrated at what looks like a closed door, I remember how God has redirected me in the past and how he always manages to work it out for good. For example, I remember praying extensively about what college to go to and what major to choose, but the audible voice never came. The school I ended up going to was not my first choice. It was external circumstances that made me feel like maybe God was leading me there. Long story short, the experience was more than a little disappointing at times, and halfway through my time there, the college closed my department, forcing me to switch majors. Even though that's not really the same as Paul and Silas being flogged and thrown in prison, it felt like a pretty low point for me at the time, and I remember being confused as to what God's plan for me even was. I wonder if there was a part of Paul thinking the same thing. He didn't even want to go to Macedonia in the first place, but the Holy Spirit kept redirecting him and sent him a vision telling them to go there. But after they arrive, they're met by enemies who have them beaten and arrested. If I were them, I'd be asking God why in the world he would send me there if he knew that was going to happen. Instead, we see Paul and Silas's reaction in verse 25. They were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. They chose to worship in the valley and used their supposed misfortune to witness to the other prisoners around them. Similarly to Joseph while he was enslaved in Egypt, they continued to trust God and were able to see him work wonders and make good out of tremendous evil. I bet if you asked Paul if it was worth it, he would say yes, because of the eternal impact it had on the jailer's life. We don't always know why God has us in certain situations, but we can rest assured that he will walk through it with us and will always have a sovereign plan. In case you were wondering, the degree I graduated with ended up being a lot better for me and in a lot of ways led to the job I have now that I love. Plus, that college is where I met my wife and most of my best friends, so I guess it all worked out in the end. I'm glad that I trusted the Lord's redirection instead of getting hung up on where I thought my destination would be. Question 1. In what areas are you resisting where the Holy Spirit is leading you? Question 2. Write down one or two ways that God's timing has worked out in your past and thank him for it. Question 3. Think of a difficult situation you might be in right now. How is God using you to reach others who are in that situation with you? Daily prayer. Holy Spirit, make me more aware of your presence and where you are guiding me. Even when I'm lost and confused, I know that you are always there to comfort and support. Help me be a light to others, no matter my circumstances. Amen.